The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Creatures that are smaller than marsupials. They have names like Anderson Cooper, Wolf Blinky Blitzer. They're the small creatures underneath the leaf droppings of the jungle floor. Instead of focusing today on all of the damage around the world done by the Obamas, instead they're focusing on a speech given by the newest first lady to appear on the stage, as fresh as Jackie O on her first appearance. And they're frightened because she has trumped all of them. Melania Trump has trumped all of them all at once. And you know she's so appealing that she's liable to garner a good percentage of Hillary's woman vote, simply because she's so appealing. Now, regarding Melania's speech, yes, there's some overlap, but that's, of course, not the issue. The issue is, you know what the issue is? It's not that. The issue is that she is so appealing that the Hillary Clinton camp went insane, fearing that Melania has, in fact, captured the attention of the women of America who don't like Hillary very much. Hillary's not attractive. Hillary's unattractive. This is a country that lives on movie stars. Melania's a movie star. Hillary looks like a maid. She looks like Stalin's housekeeper. Gussied up. That's number one. And number two, of course, the reason the creatures underneath the leaf droppings of the jungle floor called the media are obscuring, doing this is to obscure all the problems that Hillary has created. Have you forgotten the email scandal? Have you forgotten Benghazi? Have you forgotten the Clinton Foundation cash scam? Somehow that didn't make it to the geniuses who are worried about a few lines of overlap from a speech that Michelle Obama gave a number of years ago, which she lifted from someone else. And speaking of Michelle, I mean, let's be very clear here. Since the government agents in the media seem to want us to focus on Michelle's superior virtues, let's do so today. Let us focus on Michelle's alleged superior virtues. She's now the victim. But let's look at that a little bit on the show today, such as her travel scandals, the fact that her mother has been living in the White House at taxpayer expense since they occupied the White House, the fact that she has, at last I checked, correct me if I'm mistaken, 72, count them, 72 personal attendants paid for by you. Have you forgotten all the scandals that surround the Obamas? Have you? You forgot all of this? Wolf Blitzer forgot it, Anderson Cooper forgot it? How about all the scandals that are surrounding the Obama administration? You forgot the epidemic of cop killing that they both triggered with their hateful rhetoric, including Michelle Obama's speeches at colleges, which we have, going back at least 2 years. All of a sudden forgotten by the Lilliputians, buried by this non-scandal. You forgot about the Muslim who rode over people in Europe the other day in Nice. You forgot about the Afghani asylee who went on a killing spree in Germany yesterday with a hatchet, killing ordinary Germans, including four Chinese tourists on a train until his vermin was shot by German police. You forgot all about that, all because of a few overlapping lines. It just shows you, you know, you say, well, where's the propaganda in the media? You're watching it. You're watching it in action. You're watching it in action. You see, the government media complex is so overwhelmingly naked right now. The little men and women in the media are so exposed right now. They're so locked into the Democrat Party establishment, like the Soviets who own the press, such as Izvestia. This is a government media complex so embarrassing today, I would say shame on them. But little men like Anderson Blooper, little men like Wolfie the Blinker Blitzer, have no shame. They are shameless creatures under the leaf droppings of the jungle floor. All I can say is go, Melania, go. You are a class act. You're the next Jackie Onassis, and everyone knows that. You've outclassed Michelle Obama, and that is why the media has gone insane. But since the government media complex has been told to focus on Michelle's alleged superior virtues, I think we should do so. Let us do so right now. Let us look first at her travel expenses. and your tax dollars at work. If you remember, it was already a scandal years ago when Barry and Michelle traveled more than any other first couple. Spain, Africa, China, South America. And often they're accompanied by friends, which you pay for. You ever hear of that before? Friends, an entourage of freeloaders, and Michelle Obama's mom, Marion Robinson, who's been living in the White House at taxpayer expense since her son-in-law's inauguration. You forgot about that, Anderson? Oh, did you know that Mrs. Robinson's friends tag along at your expense as well? Do you know what would be going on if any president other than the Obamas was doing this? We're doing this. Do you have any idea? You know how many hundreds of millions of dollars they've spent for this corruption? This is called corruption. You forgot about Michelle Obama's controversial trip with friends to Spain's luxury Costa del Sol in 2010 at a time when the U.S. unemployment rate was 9.5% on the way to 9.8%. You forgot about that. Well, I have the whole list. You forgot about her side trips to Kyoto, to Dublin. Did you hear about this one way back when in 2014 when Mrs. O, her mama, and her daughters toured China? Mrs. O stayed in Beijing's Westin Hotel in a suite costing you $8,400 a night. Now, this price was previously deemed too expensive for Vice President Joe Biden to use, but not too expensive for Michelle Obama. You know that they're a little different than everyone else. You know they're given a pass for wink, wink, nod, nod. You know what reason. What reason are they allowed to get away with this embarrassing violation of the trust of the office of the presidency and the first lady? The answer is quite clear to all of us. And so again, if you wish to focus on the superior virtue of Michelle Obama, we can do that on the Savage Nation today. But at this time, what I would like to do is just play the new First Lady's speech. By the way, she speaks four languages. She is a successful businesswoman, unlike Michelle Obama, who has never held a job in her life that I know of, or that she once worked for a law firm. I really don't remember. I know she has nothing that anyone needs other than hatred. Every speech of hers is whining about the oppression that she has suffered her entire life. We're never going to hear this again. When the Trumps become president and first lady, we're not going to hear this whining class warfare, are we? And that's why the media is in uproar. A star is born. If I were to summarize all of this hullabaloo over this overlap in a few words of the two speeches, it would be summarized as simply as a star is born, and they don't like her very much. So let's listen to the words of the first lady of the future, first lady beginning in January of 2017, Melania Trump, a star is born.
On July 28, 2006, I was very proud to become citizens of the United States. The greatest privilege on planet Earth.
And there's plagiarism right there. You said greatest privilege.
I cannot or will not take the freedoms this country offers for granted.
You see, there's another plagiarism. She can't take for granted the freedoms this country offers. That was taken from someone, wasn't it? Anderson Cooper has his assistants working on that right now. I'm sure that someone at Fox News, one of the accusers of Roger Ailes, is twisting the knife into Melania behind the scenes right now, like that wolf in Wolves' hairdo, Megan the Dragon Lady Kelly. Megan the Dragon Lady Kelly twists the knife into Roger Ailes today. After supporting him, now she turns the knife into him because she realizes he's weak and about to be thrown out. This is how vicious the media is. Do you realize this is the most vicious business in the world? You've heard that Hollywood is vicious. What you got to do is take one look at Megyn Kelly's face on the Drudge Report, and you will have a new poster girl for viciousness. Don't be confused by the blonde, blue-eyed look. Underneath it is a dragon hissing fire, and she's not on your side, by the way. You will soon wake up and see a new hairdo and a new political orientation, as sure as I'm sitting here. But that's not the issue, really. The issue is, there's a lot of news out there, but you're not interested in it. You're interested in gossip and scandal, and I get it. That's the way the world works. As Cato the Elder wrote about his view of Roman history, he said, the average Roman didn't care about where the legions were going, whether they were conquering in Germania. No, they were interested in the pebble in the shoe back in old Rome. They were interested in the price of wheat. They were interested in the cost of leather. They were interested in the production of grain. In other words, they were like you, and they were like I. They were interested in the pebble in the shoe, not in where the legions were currently functioning. And so today, the pebble in the shoe is the overlap between two speeches. And on a very personal level, I'm not even interested in that. I'm suffering from a toothache, as I went to the dentist yesterday. This is a pebble in the shoe. It was a scene out of Marathon Man. I called him Dr. Mengele, as he poked underneath the gum with a sharp pin-like object without any anesthesia whatsoever. I tapped him on the hips and I said, "Are you pulling a Dr. Mengele on me?" As I shot up from the chair. "Not even Novocaine, Dr. Mengele?" And he smiled at me. He said, "No, you don't need it." I said, "What do you mean I don't need it? What, you need it?" As he continued to prod and poke with a needle underneath my gum line. So, as I say, it's the pebble in the shoe. It's for that, for all of us. And this morning I woke up. I was so fed up with the news and the lies and the crimes that the Hillarys and the Obamas are going to get away with every day because of the people in the media who are now screaming about a little speech overlap, that I decided to do something I hadn't done in a long time. And so I posted a picture of my dog Teddy on my Facebook page. No, not I was not showing axe attacks by Muslims in Germany. I could have shown him screaming Allah, blah, 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 blah. And of course the media covered up and said they didn't know what instruments he had in his hand. They didn't know where he was from. They said he uttered something, but they didn't know what it was. If you think the government media complex is bad here, you're right, but you don't know anything about what it can get. All you're going to do is look at what Angela Merkel, the fascist leader of Germany, has done to the press over there. So I went onto my Facebook because I didn't want to put up Allah, blah, with the axe and the German train. And I put up a picture of my dog Teddy in his new little check coat. And I said, "Teddy says smile. Read my book, Teddy and Me. It will make you forget the horrible world." And it did for about 16,000 people so far. They're interested in my dog, Teddy. But if you want to talk about Michelle Obama, we can do that in her superior virtue. That's very, very good. Bennett WJR has something on Michelle Obama. Ben, go ahead, please. You're the first up from Detroit on the Savage Nation. What's the topic, please?
Michael, I'm very excited to get to talk to you. The topic is, you mentioned that you weren't sure if Michelle had ever had a real job. Michelle Obama had a one job, if you could call it real. She was called a diversity consultant for the University of Chicago, for which she was paid $365,000 a year.
When she wow, that's a good job. That's a good gig if you can get it.
Well, it was such an important job that when she became First Lady, they didn't even bother to replace her.
Well, because she did such a great job, no one could follow in her high heel steps. $360,000 a year to complain about racism. That's a pretty good racket. I bet you that exceeds Hillary Clinton's prices for speeches about the oppressed women of America.
This country.
All right, well, thanks. I didn't know if Michelle Obama had held any real jobs. I guess that explains she has. And so it's a tempest in a teapot, and you know why. It's because Melania is such a class act. She has overshadowed the entire campaign. Everyone loves her. They all know that she's going to absolutely put Trump over the top. That's what's really happening here. It's the Savage Nation. Pebble in the shoe. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN.
Donald is and always has been an amazing leader. Now he will go to work for you. His achievements speak for themselves, and his performance throughout the primary campaign
proves
that he knows how to win. He also knows how to remain focused on improving our country, on keeping it safe and secure.
Hold it, she couldn't have lifted that from Michelle, because that's the... How can you say improving our country? That didn't come from Michelle. We know that Obama's never improved anything he's touched. He's a destroyer of nations. Take a look at the Middle East. Take a look at Libya. Take a look at America. Take a look at Louisiana. Take a look at Texas. Whatever the man has touched, he's destroyed. She couldn't have lifted that line from her. So I say today, my friends, since the government agents on CNN, MSNBC, and the other outlets want us to focus on Michelle Obama's superior virtues, I think we should do it. I think we should compare and contrast Melania, who speaks four languages and is a very successful businesswoman, with Michelle Obama, who I think speaks one language fairly well. It's called the language of grievance. A whiny language, that is. A whiny rendition of the language. Every speech she gives is some whiny rendition of how victimized she's been all of her life. What a game we've been living through. So I don't want to spend 3 hours on this. I'd like to spend 30 hours on it. But if you care to talk about it, we can do so. Because someone studied this in great detail. And he did such a great job on this. And that's Mr. Pollack from Breitbart. And he found that Michelle Obama copied Saul Alinsky in the speech Melania Trump allegedly plagiarized. But wait, it gets even better. Barack Obama then copied a speech from then-Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick. And the stealing of the line from Deval Patrick by Obama was so overt that the Obama liars didn't even bother to refute the claim. Instead, it circulated examples of lines that it said Clinton herself had borrowed from Obama. So where'd they go from there? How about Hillary Clinton's plagiarism? No bank can be too big to fail. No executive too powerful to jail. After the Obama campaign accused Hillary Clinton of stealing lines in 2008, a claim supplemented by the very liberal New Republic, which accused her of stealing lines from then-Senator John Edwards, remember him? The guy with the mole on his chin? She ought to have learned a lesson. But in 2016, Hillary Clinton stole lines from Senator Bernie, the Seltzer Man Sanders. Now, in 08, Michelle Obama gave a speech called The World as It Should Be. That was lifted for her speech from Saul Alinsky, the communist hater of America, in his horrible book, Rules for the Obamas. This is the Savage Nation. Be here or be bored to death.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My husband's experience exemplifies growth and successful passage of opportunity to the next generation.
Stolen from
his success indicates inclusion rather than division.
She took the word success.
My husband offers a new direction, welcoming change, prosperity, and greater cooperation among peoples and nations.
Nations.
Donald intends to represent all the people, not just some of the people.
Abraham Lincoln. It was taken from Lincoln. All the people, not some. You could see she ripped it off from Abraham Lincoln. Wolf Blitzer should get on that one, Blinky. Get a new set of glasses for that one. All right, you get the picture. It's absurd. They're just afraid of her. Just shows you how popular she really is. They know it. The internal polls were off the charts. Hillary must have just gagged on something last night as she watched Melania speak. How does she follow an act like this? How does a woman who looked like Angela Merkel's cousin get up there at the DNC and give a speech after this one? How? She looks like Angela Merkel's housekeeper. She's going to get up there and give a speech at the DNC and they're going to compare it to Melania? What are they going to say? She was classier than Melania? More inspiring than Melania? She's about to attract more women's votes than Melania? You know what they're going to do. But as I say, I'm not concerned that much with all of this. I'd rather talk about the real problems that have been going on as a result of the two radicals who have seized power. But this is what we're talking about, so we'll talk about it. If you care to join the conversation on any other topic. Look, I don't know the exact amount that Michelle Obama made. It was about 100 grand, not 360. It was a cushy job that was paying her for who she was. By the way, Bill Ayers works at the University of Illinois at Chicago. I wonder if he got her the job. You know Bill, don't you? The old weather underground Bill? The guy who, in his youth, in his heyday, wanted to kill one-third of America? I think. Correct me if I'm mistaken, unless that was attributed to someone else, and he appropriated it for his own. I don't know. But all I'm caring about right now is the fact that my teeth hurt, where the dentist probed under the gum with a pointy wire without any Novocaine. That's it. I mean, at the end of the day, it's the pebble in the shoe. In fact, all I did was dream about spaghetti and meatballs last night, which I only allow myself to have once or twice a year. And I must tell you that before the show, during the breaks, I did a marathon. You know those hot dog contests where guys can eat hot dogs, more hot dogs than anyone else? I think I can eat a larger meal between breaks when my show starts than anyone in the history of radio and still do the show. I just ate two gigantic meatballs and a whole plate of spaghetti and bread, and I chopped garlic into it. I never felt better. I needed it. It was craving it. Spaghetti and meatballs. I don't know why I was craving it. And by the way, these are not the Swedish meatballs that you might see in Sweden. You know what Swedish meatballs are? The small, mean, no life to them. That's a socialist meatball. That's a Swedish meatball. An American-Italian meatball is large, firm, fluffy, and delicious. That's what I just had. Two American meatballs, not a Swedish meatball. If Obama were to serve Obama meatballs, they would be smaller than Swedish meatballs. They would be the size of pieces of meat thrown onto a pizza pie. What do you want to do? What do you want to talk about? You want to keep talking about the Melania? I'll do it. I got other stories. Okay, here's another story for you. Here's some red meat. Here's a little red meat for the listeners. They're yawning already in the back of the tent. Think Progress editor says police shootings are a form of justice. An editor at the communist website Think Progress, funded by George Soros, the most evil man on the planet, in the opinions of millions of people who should be hunted down by Interpol, sent out a tweet in response to the killings of three Baton Rouge police officers on Sunday, saying black people were taking justice into their own hands. This piece of garbage has a name. The piece of garbage's name is Zach Ford. The piece of garbage works for George Soros's Think Progress LGBT section. Isn't it nice to see how sensitive those in the LGBT community can be? Isn't it nice to see that they also have superior virtue? Haven't we been told that all members of the LGBT community are victims, and they all have superior virtue? Well, here's Zach Ford, editor of LGBT section of Think Progress, the communist outlet for Soros, said, given our police haven't been held accountable for murdering black people, it's no surprise some are taking justice into their own hands, Ford said. Then he deleted his tweet. Now, the Think Progress website is owned by the Center for American Progress, whose president is none other than John Podesta, Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign chairman. The journal's editor is James Taranto. That's the Wall Street Journal. And he writes that he believes there is a double standard between reactions to conservative supporters and liberals. Well, no kidding. We know that one for sure. So Melania is the new star. A Star Was Born. She's charming. Everyone loved her. Like a combo of Zsa Zsa Gabor and Jackie O. I have to tell you. Remember Zsa Zsa Gabor? She took America by storm with that charming Eastern European accent. That's what this is. I mean, it's simple as that. Everyone's in love with her. And not only that, she was an immigrant who became an American citizen. It's the dream of the progressives. And they're attacking her. She wasn't born into money. She wasn't born with a silver spoon in her mouth. And look where she is today. She's the American dream. They don't know what to do other than, you know, throw a little mud at her with some stupid story about some overlap in some of the lines of her speech and that of the great, superiorly, the one with superior virtue, Michelle Obama. So, okay, what do you want to do? It's nothing. It's a tempest in a teapot. You already forgot Brexit. This is bigger than Brexit. This is bigger than the Afghani who went berserk on a train yesterday with an axe, killing and cutting Germans and Chinese tourists till they shot the insect, the Muslim insect from Afghanistan who they gave asylum to. You hear? An asylee went running wild down the train with an axe, screaming Allah, 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 on the train, killing people. That got swept under the rug by Wolfie Blinky Blitzer. WABC has a new caller, Bashi on line 8. What's on your mind, my friend?
You're talking to me, Bashi?
I hope so. I don't know anyone else by that name.
My name, right? I just didn't recognize it. Dr. Savage, how honored I am. I just thought it was important to remind your audience of a thing Michelle said in one of her speeches, and I'll quote, "This is the first time that I'm proud of being an American."
Who'd she copy that from?
Well, no, I have to say that's her own, because that's how she felt. I don't think she copied it.
Well, look how happy she's been ever since then.
Well, I don't think anybody else would have said it, so that would have to be her original work.
Yeah, that's original. That wasn't copied from anyone that
exactly.
I know of.
So there you have it.
And look at how well she's done since then. I'm sure she's proud to be an American almost 8 years later. All those trips, mom, friends, the children's friends all flying for free. Have you ever heard of this in the history of America, that a couple would take friends on trips at taxpayer expense and everyone looks the other way? Have you ever heard of anything like this, what a scandal this really is?
Exactly.
No, all right, let's not have the dialogue here. It's reminding me of like a relative at a house party when I was young that you didn't really want to talk to. You ever get one of those relatives at a dinner? No one has these dinners of those types anymore that I know of. Maybe close-knit immigrant communities still do, Mexicans, but I don't go to them. They don't invite me. I'm talking extended family. And there's always like distant relatives, like a second or third cousin of your father's cousin who you never met and you don't like them. There's something odd about the hemline, a perfume that gives you a migraine. And your whole life you've avoided that woman. Oh, that's Betty. You know Betsy. And you're dying that you don't want to be cornered by her in the little house. And they trap you in a corner near a couch between the M&Ms and the cut glass dish, and they give you a spritz with rouge and perfume. You have to go to a neurologist the next day from the migraine that she gives you. That's what that call just reminded. Hey, look, come on. I'm in a crazy mood. Why? Because CNN is hiding all of the damage that the Obamas have done to this world and covering it up with this nonsense. If it was a just society, Wolf Blitzer would be taken out in handcuffs for what he's done to this country. You say freedom of speech? Okay. Is it freedom of speech to cover up the crimes and misdemeanors of a presidency and all of the scandals and talk about this? I think so. Okay. That's all you want to talk about. Look at all the calls I'm getting on this one. Let's go to KSFO. Bob, my hometown of San Francisco. What do you have to say about the Melania speech and Michelle, the superior Michelle?
I believe what your last caller stated it very well. One person's very patriotic, and that would be Melania. If you contrast what Michelle said in her first appearance to the American public, where she stated, "This is the first time I'm proud to be an American," I think Melania basically said she was proud to be an American the day she was given her citizenship. They couldn't be more.
But that's not what they're focusing on. They're not focusing on the woman and her story. They're focusing on a little overlap in some words in order to obscure. Look, the good news here, Bob, there's very good news. There's no point in getting upset. The left is actually in free fall with fear. They're terrified that a star was born, that she is so movie star appealing that she's going to swing a lot of women voters over to the Trump ticket. Don't you agree with that?
I agree, and I think they should add it on tonight and finish off Michelle. Bring up what Michelle said and just clear this up for anybody that...
Well, they should replay Michelle saying it's the first time I'm proud to be an American, and then they should have a little shot behind them, a running shot of the costs of her travels, the mother living in the White House, the friends they've taken on trips. I think America deserves to see the abuse we have suffered these 8 years, because they've gotten away with it for the very reason we're talking about, because of the government-owned media, Bob. Thank you for calling. Here's a new poll that you haven't seen today because of this. A poll says 60% say race relations are worse since Obama got elected. Despite the first black president of the United States being in office for almost 8 years, a Rasmussen report released Tuesday finds that 60% of U.S. voters think race relations are worse than when President Barack Obama was first elected in 08. Only 9% of voters say that race relations are better now. The number who say they are worse is up an astounding 18 percentage points from the 42% who thought so in late 2014. Other findings in the poll include this. Among whites, 68% say race relations have gotten worse, while 38% of blacks feel that way and 51% of other minorities agree. I can't read this. The survey of 1,000 likely voters was conducted on July 12th and 13th. Is that before the cops were killed? The margin of sampling error is plus or minus 3 points. This is such nonsense. These are made-up polls, even Rasmussen. I want to believe it's correct, but you know what it means? I'm trained in statistics. The survey of 1,000 likely voters, you know what that means? Who is a likely voter in America? Anything with a pulse is a likely voter. If they find a field mouse overturned on its back in a meadow, still breathing, they could interview it and ask it how it feels about race relations. And what does it mean? Nothing. Someone wrote the article and made up a fake study, that's all. I mean, I agree that that's probably true, but not the numbers don't mean anything. All right, let's take some calls and move on to other stuff. What I don't want to talk about, dental horror stories? I'd almost rather hear your dental horror story. I got so mad at the dentist, who I've used for years, that I did. I almost tapped out like in a cage fight. I was tapping him, saying, "You ever try to talk when there's instruments in your mouth?" I actually perfected it. I am so good at it that when I have tools in my mouth, I can actually explain. I can talk. I can still articulate more so than most Americans. I said to him, "What are you doing? Why is that wire probe under my gum?" He didn't even swab it with anything. And I like the guy. Maybe it was an off day, the heat of the summer. I don't know what it was. The office was empty. There was only one person there getting a cleaning with a dog on her belly, like a service dog, sitting on it to protect her from the dental hygienist. That's funny. You know, the difference in the world I live in from the world I grew up in is unbelievable. I think it's great that you could take a dog in for a dental clinic. A dog is a filthy creature. I love dogs. You bring it into a dental. You know what kind of filters on a dog? The pathogens that dog has on its tongue, on its toes. You have any idea how dirty that is to have a dog on you when you're having your teeth done? The Muslims are 100% right. Dogs are filthy. Well, bring him in for surgery. Forget Lister's work. Go ahead. Tell him that it's your service pig. And you insist on bringing your service hog in for surgery. You're going to have intestinal surgery, but you're insisting because you're so important, they're going to bring a service hog in with you. So you talk about a meltdown. I tapped out. I was tapping. I said, "Dr. Mengele, what are you doing?" At first, I started nice. I said, "What are you pulling, a marathon man on me?" He didn't even smile. That's what really worried me. And then he went even deeper with the probes. I gave him another tap. I said, "Hey, I feel like Dustin Hoffman in Marathon Man." Again, no reaction. So finally, I bolted up in the chair and I smiled. I said, "Hey, Doc, did you actually see Marathon Man?" He said, "Yes." I said, "You know, I saw a survey that asked dentists if they hurt people on purpose," and he didn't smile again. So I answered for him, and I said, "Most dentists said yes, sometimes they do." Again, he didn't smile. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Says, "Love your opening, Savage. Melania is simply gorgeous and they're all jealous." That summarizes it. That's the take-home message. They are so panicked that she swung women voters over to Trump that they're doing anything they can to try to run it down. But you know what it's doing? What it's doing is people are going to now say, "Wait a minute, who are they comparing it to? Oh, Michelle Obama?" Well, let's look a little more closely at Michelle Obama's tenure as first lady. Why don't we do a little closer look at her abuse of taxpayer funds, her travels, the mother living in the house at tax expense, the 70 personal assistants, the abusive language that she uses on everybody, the whining every time she gives a speech. But it's worse than that. We have speeches from her, which we'll play in the next hour, just for a passing note, from last year's college graduations, where she was again stirring up the pot to produce racial division in the nation. This has been a nonstop campaign of the two of them. And frankly, we can't wait until the White House is cleaned out. And until there's no ownership. I can't wait to see what Trump does with the White House. I mean, he does beautiful work on redecoration. You know, in this case, he'd probably tell him, "Why don't you take the furniture and the dishes," like Hillary did. "We won't even count them. Just take it all with you. Because I like to put my own in its better quality."
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
On July 28, 2006, I was very proud to become citizens of the United States. The greatest privilege on planet Earth.
It's the story that I witness every single day. When I wake up in a house that was built by slaves.
I didn't start out as the fully formed first lady who stands before you today. No, no, I had my share of bumps along the way.
Yeah.
But as potentially the first African-American first lady, I was also the focus of another set of questions and speculations. Conversations sometimes rooted in the fears and misperceptions of others. Was I too loud or too angry or too emasculating?
Wherever you go, you will encounter people who doubt your very existence. Folks who believe that hard-working families with strong values don't exist on the south side of Chicago, or in Detroit, or in El Paso, or in Indian Country, or in Appalachia. They don't believe you are real.
The road ahead is not going to be easy. It never is, especially for folks like you and me. Because while we've come so far, the truth is that those age-old problems are stubborn, and they haven't fully gone away.
We know that today in America, too many folks are still stopped on the street because of the color of their skin. Or they're made to feel unwelcome because of where they come from, or they're bullied because of who they love.
For the first time in my adult lifetime, I'm proud of my country, and not just because Barack has done well, but because I think people are hungry for change.
All right, we got the picture. Yeah, we got the picture. Michelle and Barack came to do good, and they did very well indeed. Let's put it to you that way. Write that one down. You haven't heard it yet today. I'll repeat it for those of you who are slow of wit, slow of mind, and slow of finger. Let's assume that you love Michelle and Barry, and you think that they're true great liberal idealists despite their abuses and failings. What I'm about to say again is 100% true. Even if they did come to do good, they did very well indeed. And that's the rest of the story. Now let's go to some of the callers on this nun scandal. The bottom line is, Melania brought the house down, a star was born, Hillary freaked out with Sidney Blumenthal. They went crazy last night, I would imagine, saying we've got to do something to smear her. She's too beautiful. She's too popular. She's an actual immigrant who waited online. Do something, Sidney, or your head will roll. And so Sidney probably smeared up some of the vermin that worked for him, got them out of a nightclub somewhere at 3 in the morning, and told them to smear something up. So they found a little overlap in some of the words that Michelle used that she took from someone else. And that Melania used. Now they turned it into a scandal larger than Benghazi, a scandal larger than Emailgate, a scandal larger than the stirring up of cop killings, you name it. Suddenly this is bigger news because of the government-owned media. That's what it comes down to, incidentally. Now if you want to call me on that, okay, you can do so. Peter on KVOR Radio, welcome to the program. What's your topic?
Well, Dr. Savage, if Hillary Clinton and her supporters want to make plagiarism an issue, all they have to do is go to Vice President Joe Biden. Joe Biden was forced to abandon his first run for president because he plagiarized on a college term paper. And the latest...
Well, no, I understand that. He actually didn't plagiarize on a college term paper. I studied it. He stole the speech from a British Labor Party member. That's where Joe Biden got the speech. So what are you implying, that Melania should not run for first lady, and that, what, Trump should divorce her and marry Whoopi Goldberg? What are you saying?
No, what I'm saying is that if you want to talk about plagiarism, let's look to the, don't throw rocks at people if you're guilty of yourself.
Okay, thanks for the call. No, I get it. It's not about plagiarism. It's about covering up her success. The country fell in love with Melania. She's the new Jackie O, combined with, as I said to you, the Eastern European woman whose name I forget, Zsa Zsa Gabor. She's a combo of Zsa Zsa and Jackie O. I don't know. We'll have to figure out a new name for, like, Zsa Zsa O. That's what she is. She got the I don't particularly like that accent, by the way. I'm not into that charming thing. I prefer English as a first language, personally. But she's charming. She's beautiful. She has a real story. And she certainly trumps Hillary. As I said, Hillary looks like Stalin's housekeeper. You catch her in an off moment. And, you know, women are pretty much into looks, okay, with each other, worse than men are. And Hillary's running, what, as a beautiful woman or what? An accomplished woman or what? What is she running as? A charming woman? What is her principal offering, Hillary Clinton? Let's see, her experience as Secretary of State. That's right. She has more experience than anyone else on Earth. So let's see what her experience has wrought. The Middle East is in turmoil. Libya is in flames. Europe is awash with African and Muslim refugees. There are murders and shootings and deaths. So that's on her resume. So what is she running on? Well, she's only one thing she's running on. Remember, it's the women vote that they're after. And so Hillary's running as, I'm your candidate because I'm a woman, right? Forget all the other stuff. They're not even talking about it. She's running as a woman appealing to women. That's all she's selling. So now compare her as a woman to Melania. That's the reason you're hearing about this non-story today. It's because Melania sank Hillary's woman boat. It's that simple. The whole woman boat just sank because Melania is a more appealing woman in plain English. That's my analysis. That's what you pay for. It's that simple. You want to go on? Here's another call, very important. Les on KCMO in Kansas City or thereabouts. What's on your mind today, Les?
Dental horror story, Dr. Savage. Well, I was in the Marine Corps in 1980 before I got discharged. They decided to get those wisdom teeth out. And one of the wisdom teeth, he felt like a crowbar. I could hear it ripping. He had a head of his, had his hand on the side of my face, pressure it.
Wait, a military, are you talking about a military dentist?
Oh, yes, sir. As a Navy doctor, we with a Marine, we...
Oh, well, dental work to the military is like dental, or like military music.
Yeah, he said he couldn't numb it. After he told me what was going on, after the horror was over, he couldn't numb it.
And why? Why didn't he give you Novocaine?
He gave me Novocaine, and it worked in all the teeth but one. That one of the wisdom teeth, he couldn't... He said the nerve ran through it. He couldn't.
It's a mess. I was just joking, but I felt like I was Dustin Hoffman in the dental chair yesterday. That was the point of the story. It was a joke, a throwaway story. Now we're going to get dental horror stories. I knew it. It's okay. We can do it if you want. Now, there's some sound out there that I should play. Now, there's a big story as well. And it's the story that the new Prime Minister of Britain, whose name is Theresa May, who was the equivalent of Foreign Secretary while I was banned in Britain, she became the foreigner, whatever they call it in England, for this fake conservative who just lost, whatever his name is. I don't remember him either. Theresa May. Now, the new British Prime Minister was asked by a leftist in the Scottish National Party the following in clip one. Listen carefully. It's a big story.
Is she personally prepared to authorize a nuclear strike that could kill 100,000 innocent men, women and children?
Yes. And I have to say to the Honourable Gentleman, the whole point of a deterrent is that our enemies need to know that we would be prepared to use it. Unlike some suggestions that we could have a nuclear deterrent but not actually be willing to use it.
Thank God. It's going to be an Iron Lady again. But the point of my playing this is that I said a similar thing and was banned from Britain. So they may have to throw Theresa May out of England. What I actually said was, it was a postulation. And this is why I'm not allowed in England. One of the things I said was, I want you to imagine a future scenario. Remember, this is in 1998 or so, 99, I don't know when it is. No, sorry. In the late 2000s, I was banned from Britain in 09. That's when I read it on the Drudge Report. And I couldn't believe it that they actually would do a thing like that to me. First of all, my show wasn't even received in England. But it was probably the Clinton camp, in my guesstimation, that sent these tapes, these edited tapes, in order to try and smear me in America. Nevertheless, I put a postulation because I saw radical Islam on the rise. And I said on the radio show, if you remember, some of you may remember, I said, what would you do? You have a Hobson's choice if in the future a radical Muslim nation or group gets their hands on a nuclear weapon. I said, I'd rather kill 100 million of them than see 100 million of us die. That's what I said. So immediately the same smear artists who were smearing Melania changed it to me saying, Michael Savage says kill 100 million Muslims. I never said that. But this is what they do. I have been subject to this kind of smear tactic for 22 years. But it didn't work. In fact, it's backfired on them. In fact, I was just inducted or will be inducted into the National Radio Hall of Fame. The only national talk show host currently on the radio who won that. Do you understand that? Do you know what an honor that is? The next time you think of me, think of a baseball player in the Baseball Hall of Fame. That's who I am. So all the smear attacks on me didn't work. Any more than this attempt to smear Melania is going to work. The people have had enough of these government agents in the media. They hate them. Do you understand that? We all hate them. And we're sick of them. Now, the anger doesn't limit itself to them. It's the establishment politicians. I'll give you an example. Bush says, I'm worried that I'll be the last Republican president. They're saying that he gave a speech to his advisors in April that he's worried that he could be the last Republican president. All right, the bumbler, in other words. But wait, it gets even worse. Here you have a convention, and the bumbler isn't there. His father isn't there. His rotund brother, who lost in the primaries, isn't there. Romney, the loser, isn't there. Mittens isn't there. John, the capitulated McCain, isn't there. Do you know what a disgrace this is? Do you know the only one who went there? The only living Republican presidential choice who was attending the convention? The only man of honor? Bob Dole. Bob Dole has character. You know why? Because Bob Dole is a war hero. You know, to me, John McCain is not a war hero. I'm deeply moved by his suffering, but he's not a hero. The other one is a hero. Bob Dole is an actual hero. He was a former Army Ranger. You got to look at Bob Dole's background. Great old man. And I saw him last night sitting there stoically. He looked fabulous. The guy's 92 years old. He's awesome. He's at the convention, and he has criticized the Republicans of the ones I just mentioned who are skipping it, and it's because he's the only one who has character. I wouldn't say McCain has character. You know, he is a character. I wouldn't say Romney has character. He's characterless. He's bland. He's like vanilla ice cream. You know, you couldn't even put sprinkles on Romney and make him appealing. And as far as the Bush family, they're embarrassing themselves by not being there. It's showing sour grapes. And weakness, incidentally, not strength. What you do is you bury the hatchet for the sake of the country, and you go to the convention. But no, not with people like this. It's that simple. KBOI. Where is KBOI? I'm drawing a kind of an empty response to that. I normally know where that is. Where? Boise, of course. Don't get mad at me today. It's from the non-anesthesia and the pain in the tooth. Cindy, line 3, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Yes, brilliant strategist you are, Dr. Savage. You know, I had my very liberal sister from the East Coast out here, and I was flipping on the radio a couple times in hope she would listen. And because of your free associations, she didn't necessarily want to get into the meat of the issues. But every time there was something that you were talking about that day, and she just said, who is that man? That's brilliant what he said. It was awesome. But thank you. I think that's a wonderful strategy. She is so... Thank you.
Do you like my harmonica, Kat?
I love it. I play one myself from Appalachia.
I went and got... Oh, really? I got this in Appalachia myself. Now, I got it in a music store about a month ago. I decided to use it with callers just for the heck of it. And if I hear a speech, for example, that is just hilariously absurd...
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. So today we're talking about supposed plagiarism because of a little overlap between Melania's speech and a speech that the great First Lady, Michelle Obama, gave a while ago. And it came out that we're now looking at the First Lady, Michelle Obama, in great detail, and we're actually appalled. at what we're discovering. But put that aside for the minute. I want to flash back to 2008 with your president, Barack, the president of the United States, Obama, on plagiarism. Listen to clip three, please.
To be blunt, they've accused you of plagiarism.
Right.
How do you respond?
Well, look, the first of all, it's not a lot of speeches. Right? There are two lines in speeches that I've been giving over the last couple of weeks. I've been campaigning now for the last 2 years. Deval is a national co-chairman of my campaign and suggested an argument that I share. Now, the notion that I had plagiarized from somebody who's one of my national co-chairs who gave me the line and suggested that I use it, I think is silly. You know, But this is where we start getting into silly season in politics, and I think people start getting discouraged about it. They don't want...
So now we're in silly season again, are we? Why don't you tell that to Wolfie the Blinker Blitzer? Why don't you tell that to Prancer and Dancer at NBC and CBS and ABC, Mr. Obama? You certainly owe it to us. Now, Mrs. Obama copied Saul Alinsky, who wrote a book called Rules for the Obamas. In a speech to Melania, Trump allegedly plagiarized. Who was the first one to start the ball rolling on this? Is there anyone out there who could tell me who dug this up? Which one of the lowlifes in the media did this first? Who for Hillary did this? I already played the British Prime Minister saying the nuke would kill hundreds of thousands, which is a great... And no one responds. None. But this is all you want to talk about. Well, you got to go with the news. You got to go with the flow. The flow is this. Here's a little bit of a flow for you. Remember when we heard about the transgender orientation of the military and how outraged we were that they would pay for sex change operations while war heroes are dying in the hallways of VA hospitals? You know what they've just... Remember when I said, wait a minute, how can a transsexual even serve in the military who's about to have such a procedure? It will take them out of duty, if they're even in duty, for 2 years. Guess what just came out? Wait till you hear this. You're not going to believe it. They should all be lined up and arrested for this.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
Pentagon manual details rules for transgender military personnel. Of all the shames this administration has committed, this is the height of shame. Why? It's not because of the transgender issue. It's that they would have such an upside-down view of the world that they would push a sex change operation and pay for it and put this person ahead of the line over a combat veteran waiting for surgery, waiting for treatment for months or years. Pentagon has issued a comprehensive manual detailing protocol for service members undergoing a sex change transition that includes, listen to this, extended time off. Remember I said, how could you even do this? You hear that they all want to serve. They want to serve. Now, what are they doing sex changes for at your expense? I don't care if you're sexually oriented that way. Then go and serve. Go on the front lines. Show you want to serve. Go fly a plane. Go steer a ship. Go drop a bomb somewhere. But don't come in and then want a surgery now, and then all of a sudden you get time off. And everyone has to, you know, take care of you. You got to get a commander's approval. In the middle of a war on ISIS, they got to call in a commander and say, General, we have someone who wants a medical treatment. Then he has to stop the war against ISIS now to find out if the guy really is a transgender. It's a prohibition, though, on living a preferred gender lifestyle on base. What does that mean? In the step-by-step process, the insanity laid out by the Department of Defense, Ashton Carter is insane. Ashton Carter should be tried for war crimes for what he has done to the military. We have not had a good defense secretary in my whole life that I know of. It goes all the way back to the era of Vietnam. They're all in it for the contracting and nothing else. These guys come from a background of academia, consulting, and working as a go-between between contractors and the taxpayers. So you say Department of Defense, they're not really defense-oriented in any way. This one's the worst of all of them. In a step-by-step process laid up by the Department of Defense, the service member must first secure a medical diagnosis. Wait, listen to this one. From a military medical provider. Now, what in the world is a military medical provider? Notice they didn't say a military doctor. What, they're going to hire now a whole corps of medical providers, specially for transgenders? You see how sick this is? Next, the service member. That's a loaded word, member, because you know what they do to the member there if they want to become something else. Next, the service member must notify his or her commander of a diagnosis indicating that gender transition is medically necessary. What the hell are you talking about? If it was medically necessary, then don't go in the military. Get it done at your own expense, Johnson. Don't waste our time and defeat our war efforts even further. The service member's commanding officer plays a critical role throughout the process. I'm not making any of this up. First having to approve government-funded medical treatment for the sex change, and later overseeing when the individual is able to return to service. What are they, insane? What, 3 years later, when the war is over, I'll come back into service for the pension? There are currently between 1,300 and 1,600 transgender service members in the active force, according to a study by the so-called RAND Corporation. Well, this is what happens when you have a community organizer ruining every branch of the United States of America. This is what he would do. He would turn everything upside down. The 18-page manual takes effect on October 1st. The directive makes clear that, quote, effective immediately, no otherwise qualified service member may be involuntarily separated, discharged, or denied reenlistment or continuation of service solely on the basis of their gender identity, which means, okay, why don't you stay in the military so we'll give you free medical care and we'll take care of you for the next 5 or 10 years. You won't have to lift a rifle. You won't have to do anything for the military that is at all related to military activity. This is what happens when you have community organizers running the United States government. Oh, I hope that Melania and Donald become the leaders of this free nation. I pray to God. And if you just tuned in, we're talking about the nun scandal here. And it's all because Melania is a Star Is Born. It's a Star Is Born combination of Zsa Zsa Gabor and Jackie Onassis. Hillary went green with fear and envy. Because I got to define it for you again. You know, in the forest of conversation or monologues that I've given you today, you may have actually missed the most important thing I said. And here it is. I'll say it again. Hillary has nothing to run on other than she's a woman. And she has no one to appeal to that she already doesn't have in her pocket, other than the undecided woman. Raise your hand if you agree with that. That's logically irrefutable. You can't argue with my logic. It's as tight as a drum. She has nothing to offer the independent, other than the independent woman is not sure, other than she's a woman and Trump's not a woman, right? So who is she appealing to? She's appealing to the ignoramus out there who knows nothing about politics, who votes strictly on gender identity. So she thinks she's got the women locked up. Now along comes a charming, beautiful woman, Melania Trump, who is an actual immigrant, who waited online, who got the real green paper, the green card, who speaks four languages, and is a successful businesswoman, and the mother of beautiful children. Have you seen her beautiful children, by the way? So women who are undecided and are voting strictly on gender identity are going to now move over to Melania. So what does she do, Hillary? She dispatches her axemen, Sidney Blumenthal, Sidney Greenstreet, whoever, all the Sidneys that she can find, all the Sidneys, all the Maxes that she can dig up from the gutters of Broadway. She gets them in there and she says, dig up anything on that, you know what, and smear her by the morning or your heads will roll. You won't be here anymore. You smear her. I want it by the morning. I want Wolf Blitzer to be leading with this tomorrow. That's the whole story. That's a scenario. Line 9, WDRC Radio. Dale, you are on the prize-winning Savage Nation. Dale, what's on your mind?
Hey, listen, first off, as a musician, I want to tell you it's really nice to hear a harp on the air.
A harp? It's a harmonica.
Are you playing G Blues or Special 20?
Well, hold on now. I bought it in a music store, and I don't know which one. It's a Special 20.
Special 20. What key is it in?
Hold on. I'm looking. Made in Germany, thank God, before Merkel ruined Germany.
Right.
They could make a harmonica. What key is it in? I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
It'd be Sam's up right as it faces you as the player. It'd be a...
Okay, hold on. Let me... Probably. Okay. CT?
Huh?
Oh, it's an E. I'm sorry. I thought it was a C. It means it's a CT. That's another note. It's an E.
It's an E. Wow. Listen, I enjoy hearing that because it brings a little bit of lightness to a heavy day of political trash. Yeah,
well, I'm going to use this intermittently from now on with callers. Or let's say I play a talk by a politician that's absurd. I'll do a little, you know, just a little adder, a little add-on. I always wanted to play one of these by a campfire over a coffee pot with Gabby Hayes.
You know what? I'll say one thing. I'll use a word that you always use that becomes a problem when you're playing a harp or harmonica. It's called spittle.
Oh, you mean if you fill it up, it just doesn't work if it gets full?
Well, usually, both guys that play a harp, they'll drench it in water to clean out the reeds. And when you're playing, you know...
No, I don't have a spittle issue. I am not Nancy Pelosi. I don't have that problem.
No, good. Thank God we haven't heard from her lately.
But there is one problem. I told you that I eat spaghetti and meatballs 3 or 4 times a year. I ate it during the break at the beginning of the show. I was craving spaghetti and meatballs all night. I was dying for it because I had a bad piece of fish the other night. Then last night I had Thai food that made my whole body itch for 12 hours. I will never eat Thai food again as long as I live. That trick food, that garbage, that poison from Southeast Asia, I can't stand it. Filled with trick spices to cover up fetid chicken and rotten meat. My whole body is itching from it. All I wanted was European spaghetti and meatballs. I didn't care about cholesterol. So unfortunately for me, during the break, right at the top of the hour, I ate huge meatballs and spaghetti from a local Italian place that still does it like the old way. But I chopped up fresh garlic in it. Now, here's the bad part of the story. As I was screwing around with the harmonica, I noticed something happened. The harmonica picked up the odor of the garlic, so I think it's ruined forever. How do you get a garlic odor out of a harmonica?
You got to quench it in water.
What if I drench it in red wine?
Well, I'm not sure. If it's if you got...
Come on, I'm just pulling your leg.
Wooden reeds, or if you have plastic reeds, it makes a completely different situation.
I know. I'm not... No, it's not good.
You don't want to get too particular about your harmonica.
Yeah, let's put it to you this way. I'm not going to lend my harmonica to anybody. I don't intend to go to a hobo camp in the next few nights and share my harmonica and a joint. But thank you for the call. That was another thing from the hippie era I hated. Remember when they used to pass a joint around? You had to make believe you didn't care about the other guy's saliva or diseases? Oh, yeah, sure. Like, yeah, we're all communists together. Yeah, we're all bows sitting around the railroad track here. Ugh. I hated that era when they passed wine bottles around, and it came from someone with, like, really a sloppy lip, and, like, you got the wine bottle, and it's like, oh, God. But you didn't want to show that you, like, were intimidated. And no, this is a very big story. No one ever talks about it. It's a very, very touchy story. When they passed the wine bottle, they probably still do in certain, I would say, circles of people, you know, like the hipsters. They would pass a wine bottle and... You know, are you telling me that it's safe to take a wine bottle in a circle of jerks in America today? You must be joking. I wouldn't even ride in a subway car with half the Democrats. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2646. Another cop is dead. I repeat, the war on police has just escalated. In Kansas City, Kansas, reported 10 minutes ago, a police captain was killed. No identity of the suspects. Of course, they know who they are because they jumped out of a car and ran away, but they're not reporting who they look like. We know they were not nuns from the local convent. We can pretty much tell you that. But the officer is dead. The officer shot at 22nd and Haskell. Start prayers, unknown condition. How did it happen? Kansas City police surrounding a building where they believe one of the suspects who shot a KCK officer is hiding. Footage from the standoff by KNBC TV showed officers in bulletproof vests massing around a house in a suburban neighborhood. A person reported being shot at by several people in a vehicle. Called to police at 1:30 p.m. And then the cops come and three or four people, no identity, jump out of the car right when the officers arrive. Police take one of them into custody. What happens next? The wounded officer was hit by a person, no identity, who fired multiple shots when the officer tried to make a stop at 22nd and Haskell 30 minutes later. A woman and two children later left the surrounded home at 16th and Quindaro under protection from a SWAT team, the newspaper reported. Stay tuned for more of this horrible news in Barack Obama's America, where the war on police has just started again. This is the Savage Nation. The phone number is 855-4728. Of course, we've been touching on lighter subjects today, such as the star appearance by Melania Trump at the Republican convention last night. And, of course, there's a little overlap in what she said and what Michelle said a few years ago. Michelle took her speech from Saul Alinsky's book. But that's not what the issue is. The issue is that the women in America who are undecided, who are not very political, who are going to vote strictly on gender lines, they don't like Hillary very much, but now they love Melania. They're in love with this woman because of her class. And they love the way she comports herself. And if they have a choice between a classy woman and Stalin's housewife, I think they're going to choose Melania. Of course, the very same Politico that is covering this nun scandal, who started it all this morning, buried the Clinton Foundation cash scandal, buried Benghazi, buried the email scandal, buried virtually every scandal surrounding Hillary Clinton, because Politico, as you well know, is nothing more than an arm of the Clinton campaign. That's all it is. The same Politico has never covered Michelle Obama's travel scandals, never covered the fact that her mother lives in the White House for free these 8 years, never covered the fact that whenever they go on trips, that is Mrs. Obama, she takes with her, very often that is, her own friends as an entourage, because that's part of her lifestyle. And of course, they never covered that at Politico. She likes her side trips as well. And we have the coverage of that, but it's certainly not being covered by Politico, nor do I expect it to be covered by Politico, an arm of the Democrat machine. WYAB Radio, James, what's your topic? Go ahead, please.
Yes, Dr. Savage, kind of an honor to talk to you, but touching on the subject you said about transgenders in the military, as a former military member, it's easy to understand why we do this, and I'm sure you've already got it, but it's once again like the Medicare system. You're gonna include all these people in and bloat up the entire system so you can take out.
Do you know how many millions of dollars it's going to cost to pay for these transgenders' surgeries and the time that they're not going to serve anybody for 1 second? How many millions of dollars that should be spent in fighting the war against ISIS? Or if you want to spend it on medical services, why not provide it to war veterans who are dying in hospitals because Obama has neglected them? This is a disgrace. It's a national disgrace. In any other country, there would be impeachment hearings for putting this ahead of the care of war veterans. No question about it. Well, when I come back, more about this shooting just now in Kansas City. Maybe we'll have a picture of the perpetrators. Not that it'll matter. Al Sharpton will come out and tweet that you can understand their rage and their anger. No doubt Jesse High Jackson will come out and mumble something about how if only they give more money to people who are poor, this kind of thing wouldn't happen. Or, you know, you'll hear the normal run of speeches. They'll be fueling up their private jets to be flying down to Kansas City to see if they can sue the dead officer's widow for anything, see if they can milk any gold out of his teeth as he lay in the ground. It's a disgusting time to be in America in some ways. It's also very enlightening and hopeful, especially when you see a classy couple like the Trumps waiting to enter from stage right. This is the Savage Nation, back in a minute.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
On July 28, 2006, I was very proud to become citizens of the United States. The great I cannot or will not take the freedoms this country offers for granted.
The whole story here is not that there's some overlap in some of her lines and lines that were used by Mrs. Obama, which she took from Alinsky. The issue is she has class. She's beautiful. She didn't whine about how she'd been mistreated her whole life like Michelle Obama. Every time she gets up, whines about her tough life. Melania loves America, contrary to Michelle who bashes America. It's that simple. And the people are going to see right through this. I think this is going to backfire on the Clinton camp. It's that simple. And it's worth talking about. I made some other points along the way that I don't need to repeat, but if you want to repeat them, go ahead. People are saying you made me laugh so hard when you're saying keep the dishes and the furniture. And now he says, and you can keep Air Force One because Trump will have a 757, not a 747. You remember when there was the scandal that the Clintons stole the cutlery or something when they left? Or when they take dishes? And Trump does things so... If you've ever been to any of his establishments, everything's first class. So I would think he's going to tell the Obamas, take the dishes, please, because he's going to bring in his own. He's going to redesign the dishes and the cutlery. I hope he doesn't get rid of the Lincoln bedroom, because if he becomes president... Well, I'm not so sure. I'm having a little ambivalence about that. I hope he wins, and if he does, I hope that he remembers me, which he may or may not. I'll be happy whether he remembers me or not, just that he's the president. But let's say he remembers me, and months from after he's in office, he invites me there, and he says, okay, you could spend the night with your family in the Lincoln bedroom. I'll say, well, thank you very much, Mr. Trump, but I think I'm going to stay across town, because the last I checked, Al Sharpton had stayed in the Lincoln bedroom, right? Didn't Beyonce stay there with a drug dealer? Her husband, an ex-drug deal. I really don't think I ever want to go into the Lincoln bedroom again. That's unless they take it down to the studs. Maybe they can put up a mock Lincoln bedroom for me. What? Okay, you get the picture. A real classy couple in there right now. Or they get away with because of Politico. All right, that's it. Then a police captain was killed. No, not a big story. Another, you know. No, that's all. Another little killing. This time of a Kansas City police guy. Then you got the Ailes Fox News drama with the Dragon Lady, whatever her name is, Megyn Kelly. I was never a fan of Megyn Kelly. I'm not angry at her. I don't know her. But I know that she's, like all of them, vicious and has to be vicious to survive. But she just stabbed the guy in the back who gave her a break. That's all. Roger Ailes has never sexually harassed Megyn Kelly. In fact, he has spent much of the last decade promoting and helping her to achieve the stardom she earned, for which she has repeatedly and publicly thanked him. That's his official statement. But why would, you have to ask yourself if you want to get into this thing, why are they out to kill Roger Ailes? Why are they getting rid of him? What are they trying to do here? I think we can all figure this out. We know there's been a changing of the guard in News Corporation. We know that Mr. Murdoch has two sons who are very liberal, who are now running a good portion of his empire as he gets older and as he devotes time to just enjoying himself with his new wife, wherever he may be. They want the old guard out. And so what they've done here is they've conducted a palace coup, in my estimation, to get rid of anyone who represented the Murdoch years. And the last major domo to go is Roger Ailes. So what did they do? They get that one, Wretched Carson to come up with that story. The last one I thought would get in on this one would be her, Megan, because I don't see how she wins by this. She's currying favor with the Murdoch sons, maybe, so she decided to throw in with them in the palace coup, seeing that he was already out the door. That's all. It's all politics. Remember, a company of this size, News Corporation, is larger than most governments. It has more influence than most governments. And so they're run like most governments. They're despotic. They're run from the top down by an autocrat who hires other autocrats to manage all of his divisions. That's the way businesses have always run. That's the way they will always run. And what happens here is there's been a palace coup, and they want Roger Ailes out. The sad part here is that so many of the women there have come out and said Roger Ailes is a nice guy, and he's never harassed anybody. And now all of a sudden their star, the Dragon Lady, who thinks she's better than God herself. I almost said God herself. Maybe God is a woman. I wouldn't know. The woman who thinks she's better than God herself. It was a slip of the tongue. Now comes out and stabs Roger Ailes in the back. So it's a little in story, but it's a big story. Because it's on the top of Drudge. And there's a good cartoon, a caricature of Matt Drudge. Why didn't Drudge stop Trump? Which is kind of ludicrous. They're trying to blame him, some idiot from Business Insider. It's nothing to do with... Did you read that story today? The man who could have stopped Donald Trump, by a writer for Business Insider, and it says CNN couldn't stop Trump, neither could Fox News. Some of the nation's most influential conservatives are naming Glenn Beck. He's an influential conservative. He's an influential lunatic. Bill Kristol's an influential conservative. No, Bill Kristol is a non-entity. Of course they're powerless because they always were powerless. They had no following to speak of. They had an audience, but not a following. There's a big difference, idiot. Then it says Karl Rove and the Bush family had no effect. Of course not. Karl Rove is a non-entity. No one listens to him. The Bush family's out of power. No one listens to them. So the guy goes on scale after scale and failed to put a chink in his armor. And they go on and on how no one could take him down, but Drudge could have. So listen to what people say at the bottom, which is very interesting. Some of the comments on the bottom about this article. It's a very big media article, by the way. Where are the comments that I asked for? Here they are. So somebody writes this, so the liberal progressive media machine, furious that they couldn't manipulate the great unwashed hordes, the so-called mindless masses of far right-wing Christian conservative capitalists, are now dumping all over, blaming Drudge because he didn't step up and somehow prevent this travesty of democracy from happening? Yeah, right, sure. And then someone says, I'm reminded of the elite's response to the Brexit. And in Foreign Policy magazine, they wrote, time for the elites to rise up against ignorant masses of Trump supporters. You hear this? And what someone writes is, the Brexit has laid bare the political schism of our time. It's not about the left versus the right. It's about the sane versus the mindlessly angry. Okay, that's one way to put it. So now they're blaming Trump. They're blaming Drudge that Trump didn't get taken down. It's crazy. People like Trump. And then they quote other people. Of course, they don't quote me because they know that I was the one who helped Trump get where he is. So naturally, they would leave me out in the Business Insider article. Why wouldn't they? Especially since I just won the this great award, the only one in radio who just won it. You know, I beat a very big player, and I got to tell you, it's a huge thing for me. It's changed me internally. You know, I haven't talked about it once. It's the third hour. May I divulge something to you? It's had an effect upon me. Winning the fact that I'm going to be inducted into the National Radio Hall of Fame, which is my legacy, it will be forever in posterity. It will be there forever. You know, as long as there's a museum, I'll be in it. Now, what does that mean? It means my message will be in it. I don't know anything more to say than borders, language, and culture, and I promise you that when I do give my speech in November, I will make sure that I thank my listeners because they've responded to borders, language, and culture. But I wanted to talk about the psychological impact of having won this award just last Monday is having on me. I just thought I would share it with you for a minute, okay, for whatever it is. I find myself walking around and thinking to myself, you know, Michael, think of it as Mickey Mantle, Joe DiMaggio into the Baseball Hall of Fame. In your world, in the world of radio, you are in the League of Giants. No one can take that away from you. You are now in the League of Giants. Walter Winchell comes to mind. Orson Welles. These are great heroes of mine. You're now in league with them. Do you know what that means? It means you are second to no man or no woman in the media. It means you are no longer a man screaming in the wilderness, some unknown, let us say, marginal clown. You have beat all of them. That's what it means. So it's actually given me a new drive, a new spark. To be frank with you, you know how you internalize things in your life, good and bad? Do you understand? Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Am I just talking to myself here? Raise your hand to yourself if you know what I'm saying. You know how when bad things happen to you, you internalize them? And do you know when good things happen to you, as seldom as they do in our lives, if you're smart, you keep repeating them to yourself until you understand it's a good thing that happened to you, and you internalize that and how that energizes you? Man cannot live by bread alone. Isn't that what Jesus said? Was it Jesus who wrote that? Man cannot live by bread alone. What did Jesus mean when he said man cannot live by bread alone? It means man is not like the other animals. Even animals need something more than just food. But let's put that aside. Man is a very special type of animal. And we have the need for spirit. And the spirit must be fed. And that's why, I mean, people who are religious know that when they eat dinner, why do you think they do the Lord's Prayer before they break bread? What are they doing? They're feeding their spirit, not just their body. And so what I'm saying is that when you win an award like this, which is so profound, this is not a marginal award. This is as big as it gets. And nobody on Fox News has won this award. No, Gretchen Carlson didn't win it. She'll not be in the Hall of Fame. Megyn Kelly didn't win it. She won't be in the Hall of Fame. Bill Maher's not in it. I beat them all. That's right. The guy from the Bronx. The one they all like to pretend doesn't exist. I beat them all. It's internalized, and it's going to give me more power than I've ever had in my entire life, and I'm just winding up for the next phase of my career. Do you know that? I am now energized for, with God's will, now it's all up to him, not up to me. It's all up to God. I'm energized for quite a few more years in radio. Unlike some who are saying they're going to leave, or they're going to quit, or they're finished, or they're dying, or they're leaving, or they can't go on, or they don't want to go on. I feel the opposite. I feel like I want to go on for another 10 years. And on that note, I have nothing else to say, and so I will do this instead.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Again, the cop killing epidemic continues. A police captain was gunned down in cold blood today in Kansas City. And the media, of course, is hiding the perpetrators. The cop killings have become more lethal than ever. And what it will lead to is a collapse of the social order itself. If you would like to see your village or your town burned to the ground with lowlifes looting stores and supermarkets stripped of their produce, go ahead. Keep being a moronic liberal, because that's what you're going to get. Now, at last night's convention, Sheriff David Clark was extremely powerful and very literate, and he is a real critic of the fake Black Lives Matter organization. Listen to what he said in clip 10.
What we witnessed in Ferguson and Baltimore and Baton Rouge was a collapse of the social order. So many of the actions of the Occupy movement and Black Lives Matter transcends peaceful protests and violates the code of conduct we rely on. I call it anarchy.
He's a great guy. I hope he's put in the charge of something when Trump becomes president. What would David Clark be good at? Head of the FBI? That'd be interesting. Imagine if we had a real crime stopper in the FBI instead of a politician from Wall Street. Wouldn't that be something? With no baggage, no connections to banks? Another real hero last night was Navy SEAL Marcus Luttrell at the RNC. And you have to hear his soundbite number 12.
Not only do the leaders have to step up and support us, but the family. Those of us in here, we're all family. We step up and we back them up, too. Not only that, we hold them accountable for every position and office that they hold. Look, either way, the only way we survive this is together, not apart. In order for any life to matter, we all have to matter. You understand?
You hear that one? Tell that to Black Lives Matter. Tell that to all of the people who tell you that your life doesn't matter. Do you know that this administration under Michelle and Barack Obama is so mean that they refuse to light the White House in blue in honor of all the police that have died because of their sloppy rhetoric? Do you know that? Now, I want you to think back. Michelle and Barry had the audacity to light the White House in the rainbow colors when they passed same-sex marriage. And you say, well, that's a nice thing. And yet they won't honor all the fallen police. Why is that? I'll let you figure it out. I mean, it's pretty clear. The battle lines are drawn, and it depends upon which side of this battle you are. And what happened at the convention yesterday is the fact that a new star was born named Melania Trump. I had never seen her speak before. I'd always seen her as a silent, beautiful woman behind Donald. I never heard her talk. I actually met her once, now that I think about it. You know, many years ago, now that I think about it, her and the child was very little. I was at the, I've been there four or five times. Well, I never forget their club in Palm Beach. I don't know the name of it. And he was there, and he came out, and he introduced his wife to me, and he said, "Oh, Melania, I want you to meet one of the most important people in the media." I mean, it was funny at the time when he said it. I was actually embarrassed by it. He certainly knows how to butter the bread, I'll tell you that. And she was very charming, you know, very European, very dignified. That was the only time, I mean, I never heard her speak. All she did was smile. So when she spoke last night in her sort of broken English, whatever you want to put it, the Zsa Zsa Gabor-esque delivery or vernacular, with her charm, you know what happened? The Hillary camp went ballistic. Hillary turned green, And she realized that Melania is going to pull in a lot of women voters who are voting strictly based on gender, if you want to call it that. I call it sex, because the word gender doesn't apply to people. It really does apply to something other than people. It's a misuse of the term to refer to people's gender. You know, it's their sex, not their gender. But I don't want to go into semantics with you right now. Many women are going to vote based upon their gender. And they're going to vote because Hillary's a woman. I'll vote for a woman, anyone but a man. Because they've been brainwashed with the whole women's movement thing. Well, now along comes Melania, who's going to pull a lot of those women away. And Hillary panicked. So she gets the goons at Politico, who work for her, no doubt. You know, arm's length with buffers. You know how it works. And the goons at Politico are told to do a hit piece on Melania. So they probably spent all night after the clubs and the drinking, seeing if they can overlay some of the speeches. And lo and behold, one of the geniuses at Politico finds an overlap, and presto, it's a plagiarism job. And now it's backfired on them. Because now, as I said at the beginning of the show, and I'll repeat, since the government agents at Politico want us to focus on Michelle's superior virtues, that's what people are doing. And they're finding out there are no superior virtues. It's all quite tawdry, if you look very carefully, my friends. When I come back, all the news, views, and reviews that you've come to expect right here on the Savage Nation. Since the government media complex has been told to focus on Michelle's alleged superior virtues, I think we should do so. Let us do so right now. Let us look first at her travel expenses and your tax dollars at work. If you remember, it was already a scandal years ago when Barry and Michelle traveled more than any other first couple. Spain, Africa, China, South America. And often they're accompanied by friends, which you pay for. You ever hear of that before? Friends, an entourage of freeloaders, and Michelle Obama's mom, Marion Robinson, who's been living in the White House at taxpayer expense since her son-in-law's inauguration. You forgot about that, Anderson? Oh, did you know that Mrs. Robinson's friends tag along at your expense as well? Do you know what would be going on if any president other than the Obamas was doing this? We're doing this. Do you have any idea? You know how many hundreds of millions of dollars they've spent for this corruption? This is called corruption. You forgot about Michelle Obama's controversial trip with friends to Spain's luxury Costa del Sol in 2010 at a time when the U.S. unemployment rate was 9.5% on the way to 9.8%? You forgot about that. Well, I have the whole list. You forgot about her side trips to Kyoto, to Dublin. Did you hear about this one way back when in 2014 when Mrs. Oh, her mama, and her daughters toured China? Mrs. Oh stayed in Beijing's Westin Hotel in a suite costing you $8,400 a night. Now, this price was previously deemed too expensive for Vice President Joe Biden to use, but not too expensive for Michelle Obama. You know that they're a little different than everyone else. You know they're given a pass for wink, wink, nod, nod. You know what reason. What reason are they allowed to get away with this embarrassing violation of the trust of the office of the presidency and the first lady? The answer is quite clear to all of us. And so again, if you wish to focus on the superior virtue of Michelle Obama, we can do that on the Savage Nation. We know that Obama's never improved anything he's touched. He's a destroyer of nations. Take a look at the Middle East. Take a look at Libya. Take a look at America. Take a look at Louisiana. Take a look at Texas. Whatever the man has touched, he's destroyed. She couldn't have lifted that line from her. So I say today, my friends, since the government agents on CNN, MSNBC, and the other outlets want us to focus on Michelle Obama's superior virtues, I think we should do it. I think we should compare and contrast Melania, who speaks four languages and is a very successful businesswoman, with Michelle Obama, who I think speaks one language fairly well. It's called a language of grievance. A whiny language, that is. A whiny rendition of the language. Every speech she gives is some whiny rendition of how victimized she's been all of her life. What a game we've been living through. Someone studied this in great detail. And he did such a great job on this. And that's Mr. Pollack from Breitbart. And he found that Michelle Obama copied Saul Alinsky in the speech Melania Trump allegedly plagiarized. But wait, it gets even better. Barack Obama then copied a speech from then Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick. And the stealing of the line from Deval Patrick by Obama was so overt that the Obama liars didn't even bother to refute the claim. Instead, it circulated examples of lines that it said Clinton herself had borrowed from Obama. So where'd they go from there? How about Hillary Clinton's plagiarism? No bank can be too big to fail. No executive too powerful to jail. After the Obama campaign accused Hillary Clinton of stealing lines in 2008, a claim supplemented by the very liberal New Republic, which accused her of stealing lines from then-Senator John Edwards, remember him? The guy with the mole on his chin? She ought to have learned a lesson. But in 2016, Hillary Clinton stole lines from Senator Bernie, the Seltzer Man Sanders. Now, in 08, Michelle Obama gave a speech called The World as It Should Be. That was lifted for her speech from Saul Alinsky, the communist hater of America, in his horrible book, Rules for the Obamas. Megan the Dragon Lady Kelly twists the knife into Roger Ailes today. After supporting him, now she turns the knife into him because she realizes he's weak and about to be thrown out. This is how vicious the media is. Do you realize this is the most vicious business in the world? You've heard that Hollywood is vicious. What you got to do is take one look at Megyn Kelly's face on the Drudge Report, and you will have a new poster girl for viciousness. Don't be confused by the blonde, blue-eyed look. Underneath it is a dragon hissing fire, and she's not on your side, by the way. You will soon wake up and see a new hairdo and a new political orientation, as sure as I'm sitting here. But that's not the issue, really. The issue is, there's a lot of news out there, but you're not interested in it. You're interested in gossip and scandal, and I get it. That's the way the world works. As Cato the Elder wrote about his view of Roman history, he said, the average Roman didn't care about where the legions were going, whether they were conquering in Germania. No, they were interested in the pebble in the shoe back in old Rome. They were interested in the price of wheat. They were interested in the cost of leather. They were interested in the production of grain. In other words, they were like you, and they were like I. They were interested in the pebble in the shoe, not in where the legions were currently functioning. And so today the pebble in the shoe is the overlap between two speeches. So, as I say, it's the pebble in the shoe. It's for that, for all of us. And this morning I woke up, I was so fed up with the news and the lies and the crimes that the Hillarys and the Obamas are going to get away with every day because of the people in the media who are now screaming about a little speech overlap, that I decided to do something I hadn't done in a long time. And so I posted a picture of my dog Teddy on my Facebook page. No, not I was not showing axe attacks by Muslims in Germany. I could have shown him screaming Allah, blah, blah, blah. And, of course, the media covered up and said they didn't know what instruments he had in his hand. They didn't know where he was from. They said he uttered something, but they didn't know what it was. If you think the government media complex is bad here, you're right, but you don't know anything about what it can get. All you're going to do is look at what Angela Merkel, the fascist leader of Germany, has done to the press over there. So I went onto my Facebook because I didn't want to put up a la bar with the axe and the German train. And I put up a picture of my dog, Teddy, in his new little check coat. And I said, Teddy says smile. Read my book, Teddy and Me. It will make you forget the horrible world. And it did for about 16,000 people so far. They're interested in my dog, Teddy. I got other stories. Okay, here's another story for you. Here's some red meat. Here's a little red meat for the listeners. They're yawning already in the back of the tent. Think Progress editor says police shootings are a form of justice. An editor at the communist website Think Progress, funded by George Soros, the most evil man on the planet, in the opinions of millions of people who should be hunted down by Interpol, sent out a tweet in response to the killings of three Baton Rouge police officers on Sunday, saying black people were taking justice into their own hands. This piece of garbage has a name. The piece of garbage's name is Zach Ford. The piece of garbage works for George Soros's Think Progress LGBT section. Isn't it nice to see how sensitive those in the LGBT community can be? Isn't it nice to see that they also have superior virtue? Haven't we been told that all members of the LGBT community are victims, and they all have superior virtue? Well, here's Zach Ford, editor of LGBT section of Think Progress, the communist outlet for Soros, said, given how police haven't been held accountable for murdering black people, it's no surprise some are taking justice into their own hands, Ford said. Then he deleted his tweet. Now, the Think Progress website is owned by the Center for American Progress, whose president is none other than John Podesta, Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign chairman. The journal's editor is James Taranto. That's the Wall Street Journal. And he writes that he believes there is a double standard between reactions to conservative supporters and liberals. Well, no kidding. We know that one for sure. So Melania is the new star, A Star Was Born. She's charming. Everyone loved her. Like a combo of Zsa Zsa Gabor and Jackie O. I have to tell you, remember Zsa Zsa Gabor? She took America by storm with that charming Eastern European accent. That's what this is. I mean, it's simple as that. Everyone's in love with her. And not only that, she was an immigrant who became an American citizen. It's the dream of the progressives. And they're attacking her. She wasn't born into money. She wasn't born with a silver spoon in her mouth. And look where she is today. She's the American dream. They don't know what to do other than, you know, throw a little mud at her with some stupid story about some overlap in some of the lines of her speech and that of the great, superiorly, the one with superior virtue, Michelle Obama. So, all right, you get the picture. It's absurd. They're just afraid of her. It just shows you how popular she really is. They know it. The internal polls were off the charts. Hillary must have just gagged on something last night as she watched Melania speak. How does she follow an act like this? How does a woman who looked like Angela Merkel's cousin get up there at the DNC and give a speech after this one? How? She looks like Angela Merkel's housekeeper. She's going to get up there and give a speech at the DNC and they're going to compare it to Melania? What are they going to say? She was classier than Melania, more inspiring than Melania? She's about to attract more women's votes than Melania? And you know what they're going to do. But as I say, I'm not concerned that much with all of this. I'd rather talk about the real problems that have been going on as a result of the two radicals who have seized power. But this is what we're talking about, so we'll talk about it. This is nothing. It's a tempest in a teapot. You already forgot Brexit. This is bigger than Brexit. This is bigger than the Afghani who went berserk on a train yesterday with an axe, killing and cutting Germans and Chinese tourists till they shot the insect, the Muslim insect from Afghanistan who they gave asylum to. You hear? An asylee went running wild down the train with an axe, screaming Allah, ah, 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 on the train, killing people. That got swept under the rug by Wolfie Blinky Blitzer. Here's a new poll that you haven't seen today because of this. A poll says 60% say race relations are worse since Obama got elected. Despite the first black president of the United States being in office for almost 8 years, a Rasmussen report released Tuesday finds that 60% of U.S. voters think race relations are worse than when President Barack Obama was first elected in 08. Only 9% of voters say that race relations are better now. The number who say they are worse is up an astounding 18 percentage points from the 42% who thought so in late 2014. Other findings in the poll include this. Among whites, 68% say race relations have gotten worse, while 38% of blacks feel that way and 51% of other minorities agree. I can't read this. The survey of 1,000 likely voters was conducted on July 12th and 13th. Is that before the cops were killed? The margin of sampling error is plus or minus 3 points. This is such nonsense. These are made-up polls, even Rasmussen. I mean, I want to believe it's correct, but you know what it means? I'm trained in statistics. The survey of 1,000 likely voters, you know what that means? Who is a likely voter in America? Anything with a pulse is a likely voter. And what does it mean? Nothing. Someone wrote the article and made up a fake study, that's all. I mean, I agree that that's probably true, but not the numbers don't mean anything. Be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Well, last night's convention had some other great speakers there, and no one's playing it. That's what they're trying to do, is throw mud over what really went on. There were victims of illegal immigrant criminals pleading for border security who were heard last night. It was very touching, by the way. And, of course, the vermin at Politico who worked for the Hillary campaign and are an arm of the DNC, covered it up by smearing Melania with a, you know, basically a false argument. The families of victims of illegal immigrant criminals were given their largest stage yet by Donald Trump, with primetime speaking roles last night at the RNC, where they pled for a firmer hand in the White House to keep the country safe. Did you hear any of those speeches? Ken Terry, brother of slain Border Patrol agent Brian Terry, said, "Only one candidate is serious about border security, Donald Trump. He will give our heroic Border Patrol agents the resources and support needed to do their jobs. President Trump will make America's border secure again." Now, Mr. Terry, whose brother was killed by an illegal alien from Mexico, was joined on stage by two mothers and one father whose children were killed by illegal immigrants and who said it's time their side of the immigration debate receives more attention. You know, you have to ask yourself how comedic this can get. Who will the Democrats bring on the stage next week? You know, it's getting so bad, and the battle lines are so carefully, clearly drawn, that I would imagine they'll bring some gang members in from the prisons to talk about racist America. Maybe they'll bring in some people who killed cops to give speeches about the evils of police. Maybe they'll bring in some crackpot fake scientist who makes millions of dollars a year on global warming research to talk about the dangers of global warming and how it's more dangerous than ISIS. You could just imagine who the Democrats are going to have on the stage next week, but I can't wait. Maybe a speech from an illegal immigrant dreamer who was allowed to remain in the U.S. under President Obama's illegal deportation amnesty policy. The fact of the matter is there is a dichotomy, and there is a clear difference, and there's a clear division within the electorate over America's chaotic immigration policy. Hillary Clinton has pledged, of course, not to do a darn thing about securing our borders. In fact, she will not crack down on criminal aliens who have stolen the lives of loved ones from these families. She will make sure that more of them are brought in to steal more lives and to take more of our scarce resources. So I would say to you that you have a clear choice. Do you want President Hillary Clinton, who gives a voice to illegal alien families, or do you want American families who are fed up with the illegal aliens running all over this country and basically abusing us every which way they can? It's a very clear choice. Now, victims of illegal immigrant crimes gained prominence last year after the death right here in San Francisco of Kate Steinle, a beautiful young woman walking along the San Francisco waterfront with her father, turns and says, "Dad," the next thing you know, she's shot dead by an illegal alien who had been deported five times and who was in the U.S. as a result of Dianne Feinstein, Barbara Boxer, Nancy Pelosi, and the others who gave him protection under San Francisco's policy as a so-called sanctuary city. There are other cases, such as that of Marianne Mendoza, whose son, a police officer in Mesa, Arizona, was killed when an illegal alien driving drunk the wrong way on a highway crashed into his car. The illegal alien in that case had been convicted of crimes but not deported. She spoke last night at the RNC as well. Which America do you want? Law and order or no law and disorder? This is Michael Savage. That's all, folks.